Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Guess what?
What?
Britt's here.
I didn't know if I was supposed to answer or not. Or no, I think that was good. For the listener to answer.
No, that was good. That was so good. I'm so glad you're here. We've been meaning to record this for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I told everybody on the podcast last week that you would be here for this week. So we have to cram this one in on 420.
On 420.
And if you know, you know.
National holiday.
That's right. One announcement. Actually, two announcements. If you did not sign up for the Decoding Aggression and Reactivity Summit with Ness Jones, where I am speaking along with 13 other experts and professionals, then you can still do that by the end of May, through the end of May. So go to our event page on the Dog Speak website, and you can find that. It's on the April 19th. And then, which was already happened, but which was just yesterday. It was yesterday. Sorry. And then we have the live Q&A that we are doing another one of those for $24.99. Unless you're on the newsletter, then you got a 25% coupon. But we have our live Q&A for May the 12th. So go and sign up on the same page on the events page. Brett, what have you been up to?
Oh, just work. Yeah. Mostly. I've been gone a lot.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, kind of sucky.
Sorry.
Shitty.
You've been holding the fort down.
Look, all I'm pretty sure the listeners don't enjoy just listening to me. I think we all miss you. Very much so.
I'll have to come back more often.
Please do. Most of the time when I'm recording, I'm just staring at your chair. And then there's like prints behind it. So I just stare at prints.
It's not a bad thing to stare at.
No, but it'd be nice if somebody was communicating back. That's all.
So what are we talking about today? Like, you and I haven't really gone through it too much.
No, because we really had a good conversation about this when we were in Louisville on vacation. But I was thinking, because we were going to talk a little bit about Willow, what you saw as a puppy, what was concerning, all those good things. And then I also thought, because I had a video that I put on YouTube last week, that where I was working with Willow and a dog that was reactive behind a fence, which you were recording, and she was excited, but she wasn't lunging, she wasn't barking, she wasn't pulling, she was just really overly excited. And I had a commenter asked, why were you rewarding her excitement? Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I need to talk about this, and I think that's it's going to go kind of hand in hand with this, to where I think so many people try to teach a dog everything they need to know before the dog is fully developed, to try to get the behavior now. In reality is that, you know, this the first 2 years, so the first 24 months, which of course I didn't get her until she was 8 weeks, so the first 22 months of our life together, my goal is not to make things perfect in those 22 months. My goal is to make sure that she has life skills past that, because we're going to spend a lot more time in the adult phase of her life than we are in puppy phase. And so that was the big one, is I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for behavior I like, and then I shape that into something that's more appropriate. So I think that was just kind of part of, mostly I want people to understand that what you see as a puppy doesn't necessarily mean that's what you're going to get as an adult.
Right.
Because having a puppy can be hard.
Right.
And then you had some concerns with Willow as a puppy. So we will be focusing mostly on Willow today, but we'll always let our conversations go down rabbit holes if we need to. So take it away. You have notes.
Sounds good. Yeah. The first thing on my notes is resource guarding as a puppy.
Yes.
It was concerning to me to see Willow resource guarding her food, toys, you know, I mean, just bones, whatever she had. But, and she still does it occasionally, but it's not as extreme. And it's always pretty predictable. So it's like when she's in heat or kind of getting ready to be in heat, or if she's really tired, if she's had an overstimulating day. So we kind of can control that to some degree by like giving her naps, spa room. Like I just put her in her spa room because she's been up a lot today. She hasn't napped very much. They've been playing. You took her for a long walk, which where she got to meet a friend.
Yes, she did. And that video will be up tomorrow.
Yeah, so but in the beginning, I was pretty concerned about her resource guarding.
It was pretty, and we talked about it on the episodes. We've talked about it on an episode before. Yeah, she was definitely, like, if she had, like, a lick pad and you walked over, man, she was, like, all about guarding it. She's never snapped at any of us.
No.
Except for the animals.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's gotten better as we've shown her that everyone in the household's going to respect her space. So now, I mean, if she has something of high value, she'll actually take it into her crate. Everyone knows that when she's in her crate, that's her space and you don't mess with her. So, and I've also seen her come out and, you know, chew a bone in the living room with everybody around where she's kind of unbothered by it because, again, she knows that we're going to respect that space.
Yeah, and, you know, as being a guardian breed that she is, resource guarding is not unusual. Mm-hmm. And it's how you handle it as far as, is this going to be a problem in adulthood or are we going to be able to work through this? You know, I like to think about us as kids. Now, maybe not you because you were probably one of the most perfect children, but as kids, many times we are selfish and we resource guard, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have a bag of chips and a kid, you know, goes, can I have one? And as a kid, you're like, no.
Like, look, I had three brothers. Trust me. Resource guarding was a thing.
That was a thing with you.
Especially with food.
Yeah.
We were all growing kids and the boys especially, I mean, they're all over 6 feet tall. I mean, they're big boys. And so we ate our poor parents out of house and home. But yeah, I mean, it's natural for kids to do that, to guard their things.
Yeah. If we don't put a shock collar on them or scream and yell at them.
Well, I mean, some kids do get screamed at for sure.
It's not appropriate. Because it's, again, they're trying to figure out this world and figure out things. You know, it's like whenever I ask the boys, and there's like a 3 and then 7, 8. I guess, gosh, they're both getting like 8 and 9 now. But even when they were younger, they would have like a bag of chips and I would ask them, can I have a chip? And they were like, no. And I was like, okay. Well, if you change your mind, let me know. Because I want to respect that. Because I think that we tend to punish when we see it instead of saying, I asked a question. Just because I didn't get the answer I wanted doesn't make you wrong.
Right.
And, you know, as the kids grow, they learn. Mm-hmm. And they're very generous now. They bring us over things all the time.
Oh my gosh,
like, yeah. I found this and you can have this. And I mean, it's just really sweet. But with Willow, it was a natural behavior. But because she's a Rottweiler, I know how scary that can be for some people. Mm-hmm. And there were times I saw the looks on your face that you were like, I don't.
Because I've never had a dog that resource guarded like that before.
Yeah. And it's, again, it was one of those things that was very predictable. And what we did is we worked on just teaching her that when we approached, if we were near, good things happen. So if she was laying there with a bone, walk by, throw her a treat. She was in her lick mat. And I actually have a video, I think, on YouTube with this, where she was on her lick mat and I would walk over and just give her some food on it, regardless of what her behavior is. Mm-hmm. Now that she is 18 months, she has gotten much better about all of it. But then you're right. When she gets into heat, it definitely escalates because it's usually one of her babies.
Yeah.
Right. That kicks in. But I also have noticed the last just couple of weeks where she's escalated with her resource guarding, where she was not in heat. And I'm going with the amount of hormones that's flowing right now.
Right.
Because there's times that her hackles have been up on occasions that have not been in the past. She's been a lot more barky. Mm-hmm. So her reactivity levels are up. And I think it's, again, her brain is not fully developed.
Yeah.
I heard the other day when you went to put her in her crate with her food, she was having a fit. And she was growling. It's like while she was eating, she was like growling. Rah, 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 rah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was grumbly while she was eating. Yeah, she does that quite a bit. But, I mean, I say quite a bit. She does it around when she's in heat or she's overstimulated. She doesn't do that all the time. But, again, like, it's not like I'm going to reach my hand and put my hand in her food and tell her no. Like, that drives me absolutely insane when people do that. Like, why would you stick your hand in a dog's food? That's rude.
It is very rude.
you don't need that. Oh, that drives me crazy. Tangent here. There is no reason for you to need to stick your hand in your dog's food. I get if you have to take something from your dog, but there are other ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a completely different thing to have to take a resource from a dog, but just to like, that should be their safe space. They should be able to eat without you bothering.
Exactly. And I think there are still a lot of people who believe that myth that you have to mess with them, being able to take their food away. And I honestly see people create resource guarding because they do that.
Yeah. Like, just be respectful about it and you're not going to get those problems.
No. And what the other day, because I did notice that she was kind of worked up. So I just went and grabbed some yummy things. I didn't do it that meal because she eats quickly. But the next time I fed her and it was something that was pretty high and she was kind of worked up, I just went in there, opened it, and she would be grumbling and really have an attitude. Mm-hmm. But I just put the food in there and you know, give her those yummy treats and then walk away. And it's, again, I'm learning about her, but she's also learning. She has these new hormones. She's feeling, you know, she's on the other side of adolescence, just right there beginning for a young adult. And she's still developing. And the way we handle that resource guarding will either increase the problem to where it becomes more unpredictable, or we either keep it neutral or decrease it. But you're right. She's now learned that if she does feel uncomfortable about something, she can go to her crate.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't bother. And like this morning, I fed her in there and I was making my bed and she was grumbling a little bit. And I just ignored it because it's whatever.
Yeah.
I make noises when I eat sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, so don't want to freak out because just because you see it as a puppy, how you handle it's going to make the difference for adulthood.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the most important things, you know, when people say, my dog's never going to growl at me. Well, then you're an idiot because that's how they communicate.
Yeah, they're going to growl probably.
Yeah, and you better hope they do to communicate their emotions.
Isabella has growled at me before.
What'd she growl at you for?
I was just bothering her. That's just hilarious. Being a pain in the ass.
I love that.
And
she's a pain in the ass all the time.
She gave me a little snarl and a growl. And I was like, oh, my bad. Damn. Sorry.
I love that.
I was just being annoying.
And that is the thing. It's a relationship.
Like, she was probably trying to take a nap and I was petting on her and loving on her. And
yeah.
She's just like, no, please leave me alone.
And that's her right to say that. You know, it's why, you know, we think that we can just put anything we want on our dogs. It's just very disrespectful. And to try to take away their way of communicating. And that's how you end up with kind of bites that, in your mind, don't have a reason or came out of the blue.
They seem like they come out of the blue.
Yeah, and they don't. The dog spends plenty of time. You know, and the thing is, I don't want to punish Willow for doing that because then she's going to learn that humans can't be trusted around food.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times if we're out and about, like, I don't know, on a patio eating dinner and she's there. I don't want her to feel anxious because there's food around. And the thing is she's very good about like not getting onto our plates.
Yeah.
Very respectful of that.
Yeah.
And if I do need her to let go of something, she does.
Yeah.
We have a command for that.
And, oh, this is side story about her eating, but why working on this has been so important. Sometimes our cat Steve gets in the crate. And so I put Willow in there one morning to feed her and didn't realize Steve was in there. It's a very large crate.
Yes.
It's a piece of furniture. And I didn't know Steve was in there. So I closed her up in there with food, with Steve in the crate. And the thing is, had that have been, you know, 6 months earlier, like, she may have bitten Steve.
Poor Steve.
And
even though we give him his own crate and he won't lay in it.
I know. Silly cat. Anyway, but just, I was thinking about, oh gosh, like something could have happened to Steve. And that was all my fault. I just didn't check to see if he was in there. But everyone was safe. And I was like, okay, had we not have worked on resource guarding and had we not have kind of taught her that no one's going to take her food. Like, yeah. She's safe. It's a safe space.
Safe. Yeah.
Like, our cat could have gotten killed.
Yeah.
And he didn't, thankfully.
Yeah.
Because no. Of my negligence. But, yeah, the random story there. About
no, it was good because it's true that when she was younger, she would lay down. And if they even walked in the room, she would lunge towards them. Mm-hmm. And that's when we started putting her in the crate for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they don't. I don't let the dogs steal things if it's, you know, if it's a real kind of, if it's a toy and play, whatever. But if there's like bones, we want everyone to be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think, yes, over all those times, learning that the cats aren't going to bother the food, the dogs aren't bothering the food. But we are now having a few issues, and I'm trying to get some video. She's giving some resource guarding looks about when we're making their food at night or during the day.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm trying to get video into, because I want you guys to see it. It's so not obvious to people that aren't looking for it, which means that if we don't see it and interrupt it, it will escalate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just little things like the where she positions her body, the looks that she gives. Sometimes she'll lower her head. She'll move to get in between the other dogs and whoever's making the food. And so we handle that by putting her on her place. Or if she's really worked up, we just put her in her crate and we'll bring the food to her.
Yeah.
So it's just little things. And I do not think this is going to be a problem for life. I think that she is going through still a lot of emotions right now as I'm watching her do. But it's how we handle it. Again, it goes back to that. It's how we handle it. It does not mean we're going to have it for life. I have no concern of her having any issues like with the kids. She's so good with
right.
the kids.
Right.
And they've been able to go and take things and do stuff. And, you know, I've been teaching them how to use the right words because she's just, it's just these certain moments that she has kind of exhibited, but never like with Ozzy. Like, she's always been really sweet and kind with Ozzy whenever he's, like, seeing what she has. So, I do. I think it's just about teaching her that you are safe and you can make these good choices. And it's about mm-hmm. her learning to make the good choices.
Yeah. And for the record, Ozzy is our neighbor's dog next door.
My god dog.
The Maltipoo, who's tiny. He's a Maltipoo, right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you imagine if she got him... You know.
Yeah, it'd be bad.
It would not be good for anyone.
No. But she makes good choices.
And I mean, I think it's too a testament of working with your other dogs as well. Isabella and Myers are very respectful. They understand the bone rule. Everybody, when they get a bone, everyone disperses to their own spot.
It's really cute.
Isabella goes and gets on the bed. Myers has his bed.
Sometimes he walks around different rooms for a minute because he doesn't know where to go.
But then he figures it out. And then, you know, Willow will usually go to her crate or her bed. But I think, too, it's like, oh, well, we've avoided some inter-pack aggression and with the work that we did beforehand
mm-hmm.
with them before we ever even brought her in. So yes. That's really important as well.
Yes, absolutely. And with, what was I going to say? There was... an instant the other day. Oh, not the instance the other day, but this is something you guys need to kind of think about. And one of the things that, I don't know if I've even explained it to you, that this is one of the things that happens sometimes is when she's chewing on a bone, she gets tired of it. Mm-hmm. And then she doesn't know what to do. So she'll just sit in her crate with it or kind of, sometimes she'll come to me with it. And I can tell she doesn't want it, but she doesn't want anybody else to have it.
Yeah.
So what I do is, and this is something I encourage you guys to do with your dogs, if they do leave a bone, because we don't leave things like yak chews down. Mm-hmm. Those are, you get it while you get it, and if you don't finish it, that's fine. We'll put it away. I take it and tell her I'm going to put it away, and I let her watch where I put it. Mm-hmm. And I explain to her, nobody's going to get it. This is yours. You can have it later when you're ready. And she watches where I put it, and we're good. And then she's good, and she moves on. And the thing is, I've never seen her resource guard the area where it's kept. Mm-hmm. But that's something I think important to let your dog know. I've got your back. This is yours. We're going to go put it somewhere safe. It's kind of almost like we're going to bury it, right? We're going to put it somewhere safe. And yep. When you want it, you can, you know, we'll give it back and do that again.
Yep.
Just some communication, simple things. And that's why we can get anything we want from her. Mm-hmm. And we can see whatever's in her mouth. And because she trusts us. And it's just a beautiful little relationship. I just love that damn dog.
She's pretty perfect.
She is pretty perfect. And she's not even an adult yet. All right, what else is on your note?
She's great.
She's great.
Oh, I just have change in Nikki. So what I meant by that is how you have changed as far as training is concerned or relationship. Maybe that's the difference, is it's not training, it is relationship building. It's funny because Willow doesn't know as many commands as Isabella, but I think she knows more words. Like, she understands the English language.
That's a really good way to put it. She doesn't know a lot of commands, but she does know a lot of language. Mm-hmm. It's kind of creepy sometimes, isn't it?
I mean, you can just, talk to her and tell her, like, okay, what's up? Go lay down. And she's like, cool, cool. I'm going to go lay down.
She's like, what's up?
She looks to you for direction a lot. And it's really cool to see that. And it's funny, I was at PetSmart with Isabella not long ago. And this dog, I love her. Isabella is my favorite dog of all time. Don't tell my other dogs that. But there was a time.
That was Myers. He's pissed.
There's Myers. There was a time where I wasn't quite sure that we were going to bond. Like, she just kind of, she has an aloofness to her.
Yes.
Not to the degree of like a Shar Pei or a Chow, but like there's sometimes she's just like, whatever, like I'm doing my own thing. And she's a very independent dog. So we were in PetSmart not long ago, and she, because we've been implementing the things that you've been doing, right? As far as like relationship building is concerned. There was a kid in the store running around, and Isabella is not a fan of many children. They move too quickly for her. They're unpredictable. She can't control the chaos. She's a herding breed, so it makes sense. But she looked at me like, okay, what's going to happen here? Is this kid going to run up to me and pet me? Whatever. And I was like, I got you. And we just went the other direction. And, you know, I don't know that I would have done that, a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I think she understands now that, oh, hey, cool. Mom is predictable. Mom's going to keep me safe. And I mean, that's taken time to build for sure. Should have happened earlier, but it didn't for, you know, multiple reasons. But yeah, it's just really cool to see that once it kind of clicks with them and you see, oh wow, we really did build a relationship. That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, right? Whenever, and so let me explain to some people of what you mean by like big changes. I've always been where my dogs knew a lot of commands. I did a lot of direction. They were really good about listening when they needed to. I didn't overboard because I don't like to micromanage. But I would teach those commands and be kind of more like, I tell you to do this, you need to do it. And I've just really gotten to the point now where, because we have so much new information and understanding about dogs' brains and how they learn and the process of it, it's, I just don't feel like we need the amount of commands, but just conversation. Our Mr. Rogers hack that our, legs community based on ethology, right, is having that communication to them to say, I've got your back. Let me explain this to you like you were a toddler, just like these, kids that are trying to figure out this world. And that's kind of what I've always done with her. And we have this conversation, but it's fun to hear you talk about what you've seen with she and I. Because I don't have a lot of commands with her. Like, we don't even have any real tricks, which is odd for me because usually
I
teach really cute tricks.
I know.
But I just don't.
Yeah.
And it is amazing that the way that she does look at me.
And those, she has those emergency commands down, right? Yes. Her recall is on point.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm like, wow, that's really cool.
Like the other day with the squirrel that I wish you'd gotten video of.
I know. She chased the squirrel and came right back before she got too far.
Yeah.
That's really cool to see. It's not like you worked on that excessively. You certainly didn't scare her into doing it. I mean, you worked on it, intermittently, but the way you did it, rewarding it 100% of the time and just her being like, oh, I trust you.
Yeah.
If you tell me to do this, I'm going to come back and.
Well, I think that it's also because I don't give her meaningless commands just to do it.
That's true.
And I think a lot of people think you have to run through these commands and constantly do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's like, I don't call her to me unless I really need her to come to me.
Yeah.
I mean, but I use this way, which just means come closer in my direction. But I don't use commands that I don't need just to use them.
Yeah.
And I do think... Oh, well, here's a good question that somebody had asked. What do you do when she doesn't respond?
Mm-hmm.
And here's where I was thinking about it today, and I actually talked a little bit about it on the video that I'm going to be posting. But for me, it's to this point now of very different, right, of what I am, is usually it's always follow through. If I ask you to sit, we need to make sure we follow through. Now, that would be without... versus that pushing butt on floor. Maybe we just stood there until you sat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my thing is this. If I ask my dog to do something, I give them 3 to 5 seconds to respond. If they don't respond, we ask again. Give that 3 to 5 seconds. If that doesn't work, my first question is, do I really need the behavior? Most of the time, this is like a sit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please sit? And then if I have to repeat, I'll repeat. And then if she doesn't sit, I ask myself, why is she not sitting? And sometimes it's because it's not comfortable to sit there, or she doesn't feel confident in the environment, whatever's happening, that she feels like she could protect herself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's still going to drive some decisions as she becomes an adult. And for me, it's saying, do I really need this in this moment? Is this crucial that I get a sit? And you know what? The majority of the time, it's no.
Mm-hmm.
But the one behavior I do follow through with are things like this way and come. So if I tell her to come and she doesn't, which happens, it's happened in the past, doesn't happen very often, especially now because she's so good. I still give that 3 to 5 seconds. And then if she does not ask again, and if she doesn't, then I just go get her. Yeah. And I don't punish, I don't scream, I don't yell, I just go get her. And again, I ask myself, why didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that was, maybe there was a dead animal she was eating on, something like that, then I have to say to myself, what can I do to ensure that she responds better in this type of scenario next time.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just goes back to just rewarding more often.
Yeah.
And because sometimes we get into a groove and we forget to reward.
Yeah.
You know, because we take it for granted.
And your foundation for how you do it is still the same. That hasn't changed. It's the expectations that have changed.
Yeah.
And you looking into the why behind it. Like, what is the motivation? That's been really interesting to see.
Yeah, because for me, it's, and I think Teba probably taught it to me one time where I was asking her to sit on these steps, and I was asking her to sit, and Teba always responded. And I asked her a couple of times, like, what is wrong with you? Why are you not sitting? And turns out, I mean, yeah, the stairs had little pokey things on it. Mm-hmm. It was not comfortable probably to even stand on.
Yeah.
And I felt like an asshole being like, why are you not sitting?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you? Now, this was granted 20 years ago, but it is one of those to where we have to stop looking at, one, what are people going to think about me?
Mm-hmm.
And two, sorry, I just hit my mic. Two, do I really need what I'm asking my dog to do? Am I wearing out these commands just to do it?
Yeah.
And I know that's a human thing. And we do it. I was so fascinated the first time I ever came across a dog who knew how to do things in mind. I was giving commands left and right. I was so excited. I was young. I was so excited because mm-hmm. I didn't know that it was a thing.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, this relationship I have with her is the best relationship I've ever had with a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we work together is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, did you have anything else on your list before I bring up yesterday?
Yeah, that was all I had.
Was that yesterday or was it Saturday? Whatever day it was.
When we went to Lowe's.
We went to Lowe's. And she hasn't been to Lowe's in a while.
Saturday.
It was busy. It was busy. We haven't done Lowe's much, but I thought, you know, well, I'm going to take her. We're going to have a little adventure. We had to get a few things. It did not go as well as I wanted it mm-hmm. to. And you had to do a lot of the shopping by yourself.
Oh, darn.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you were really struggling on that.
Shopping for plants sucks.
Yeah, I know.
Really.
But we really wanted to help. We wanted to help. We didn't go inside at all. We stayed outside. But I started with her. She was pretty worked up. One mistake, she didn't do great. She lunged at some people. She barked at people. Her hair was up. She was very overstimulated. It was busy. But here are my mistakes. These are the mistakes I made. One, I told her we were going before I was prepared to go.
Mm-hmm.
Once I start getting her stuff out, she knows, she gets excited, and so she gets worked up. So I'd already filled up her cup with that. Then the car ride also fills up her cup.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got there, it was really busy. There were a lot of people, a lot of things going on.
A lot of dogs there, too.
I didn't really see any dogs.
There were a lot of dogs there.
Yeah, we stayed away from them.
But I'm sure she could smell them.
Probably, but we sniffed. So I started out and just kind of letting her watch things. Then we went and did a little sniffy over by the mulch area and let her really sniff. And then we made it across to the plants, and she did pretty good there. I think she picked up your scent, though, because at one point she was just hitting that sniff and, like, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was like, ooh, let's go find mommy. And see, because we've never played that game before, but
yeah,
I started naming. I was like, let's see if we can find mommy. Because it's funny, because a lot of times when we go out places, you show up. That's right. Happened in the past.
Right.
But I wasn't asking for any real commands other than just walking with me. And she didn't do great. She didn't bother people. She wondered why nobody wanted to pet her. But it was a little rough until we got back out. And then there was this kid who was walking with his daddy, and she loves kids,
mm-hmm.
but he was stomping big boots and making noises, and she lunged and barked at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, this is definitely way too overstimulating for you. And we went and sat in the truck.
Yeah.
Because it was just too much. And in my past, I would have been like, oh my God, what is wrong with you? This is so embarrassing. And that's why I say what you see is not what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And what you get is not necessarily what you see.
Right.
she's been good in the past. But again, I have to remember she is still with lots of hormones. She's still intact. She's still developing and all these things. I realize, okay, these are all the mistakes I made because I know better. Mm-hmm. And we'll just practice.
Yeah.
Right. We'll just go and practice to do a little, you know, to where I can set her up for success, do it on a day that's not so busy, maybe on a Monday, late morning Monday, right? And there's not many people there. Just again to help her process that. Because that's when the people want to like correct their dog because they're thinking this dog is an adult. No, I know she looks like an adult and she's pretty much full grown physically, but her brain is still developing. So that emotional part and that decision-making part still not communicating as clearly, which is why I need to be able to communicate.
Yeah.
And when I put her in the truck, I just sat in the back seat with her. And I was actually just sitting. We were just kind of look at people because it was still busy. And when I sat down to kind of sit with her, she crawled in my lap.
Yeah.
And it was like she was telling me, I'm overstimulated. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of, good girl, and we just kind of hung out there and we came home.
Yeah.
We came home. We didn't do anything else that day. But I don't want people freaking out when they start to see behavior from their dogs, especially when they're young, to think that that's what they're going to get for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Do you remember how bitey Isabella was?
She was so bitey.
I wouldn't even put my face near her face because she was quick.
She had some chompers too.
She was so mouthy. And I thought, oh my God, this dog, if she's doing this an adult, this is going to be ridiculous. But of course, I know how dogs develop and I you know, understand it. But I want my listeners to understand that just because you see something, don't freak out. Don't freak out when you adopt that dog that's 6 months old and is showing fear towards children. And now you're scared because you have nieces and nephews. Or you're going to have nieces and nephews. Or it's a six-month-old dog and you're planning on having children in the future. Now you're scared that this six-month-old... This dog is a baby, mm-hmm. right? Remember, kids are scared of things. They're selfish. Kids are brats. They're trying to figure out their world.
Yeah.
Right? When they're having a fit and throwing a temper tantrum, there's a reason behind it. How you handle those things will make a difference. And I think that, again, I think I've said this 100 times before, but I'm going to say it again, is as long as you deposit enough into your account, when those times happen to where maybe you do have to give a little discipline where you're like, yeah, that was so inappropriate, you can go to your crate. It's not detrimental, but it's also how you handle it, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to scream. You don't have to yell. You don't have to punish in a way that's fearful or painful. But there are times you might have to be like, yeah, that was not the best decision.
Yeah.
Let's go lay down in your crate.
Let's time out on
yeah,
this.
Yeah, let's go chill out right now. Because that was a little too much. Mm-hmm. But it's that understanding that they are trying to figure it out. And every interaction you have in those moments will either make it, keep it neutral or break it. All right? So you're either going forward, going backwards, or you're staying neutral every time you're interacting.
Yep.
And I love that Isabella looked at you like, can you help me, Mama? And if you do that, then she doesn't have to worry about it. She doesn't have to react, right? Because you're handling it.
Yeah.
So many people would be like, you know, correcting the dog or forcing the dog in that situation because they don't want to be mean to people. Mm-hmm. But my problem is, guys, when you're out with your dog, your focus should be on your dog. You should make sure your dog feels safe. Not that the public is comfortable or the public is happy because you're letting them pet your dog, especially if your dog doesn't want to be petted.
I've told so many people that they can't pet my dog. It's uncomfortable to do that. It's not fun to, especially when it's a child, because yeah. they want so bad, especially when a child asks and they've done the right thing, right? And yep. they're like, can I pet your dog? And I'm like, oh man, I have to tell this poor kid that they can't pet my dog. Like, and that sucks, but also that's part of life, and that's part of, you're gonna get rejected in life, and you just have to, it sucks, but it's just part of it, and you move on. And yeah. You know, it's good for the kids too to learn, like, not every dog wants to be petted, and maybe that next puppy will be okay with it. Yeah. But, you know, it is. Like, to your point, you can't worry about hurting people's feelings. It's your dog that you have to be concerned about. I mean, that's who you live with. That's who you're responsible for. It's, yeah, not other people.
No.
And managing their emotions.
And if you think about it, so many dogs do become reactive because nobody's backing them up.
Mm-hmm.
We hold them on a leash, preventing them from protecting themselves or fleeing. And, you know, they need somebody to back them up and help them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other day when we were walking and Willow was a little bit more excited and she was barking at that dog that was reacting behind the fence. And she was on leash, a long leash, but she was on leash. Today we walked and she was off leash and she wasn't even concerned in that area. And I think that is the dog that came to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
But then we walked down another section and some dogs were barking behind fences and she kind of puffed up a little bit, but she was completely off lead and had the choice. But she made the choice to not go.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I think what we did with, you know, praising her for just, yeah, recognize it, it's there, but we're all safe here.
Yeah.
I think really makes a huge difference. That's what I got. That's the thing there. But bottom line is we don't learn everything in the first few years of life.
Yep.
And we still sometimes learn every single day. What was it that I learned yesterday? I was like, I'm 51 years old and I just learned that. Damn it. I forgot what it was.
Oh.
I was like, I'm 51 and I just learned this. Anyway, I don't know. You got anything else you'd like to add? We are so glad you're here.
No. I think we've covered a lot of ground here.
You think so?
Yeah.
Sometimes you know how I feel. I don't give enough to people. Okay. She's like, no, you got plenty. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. And I hope you understand that even if you have an older dog, 4 or 5 year old dog, they don't have to live with bad behavior, right? We're always learning and we can always teach appropriate manners, appropriate skills. And there's always time to build the relationship,
mm-hmm.
right? Just like you and Isabella, there's always time to build a relationship.
She's 7. Oh my gosh. Can you believe she's 7?
I can't believe she's 7. No.
Ugh.
I cannot.
And her recall is getting better too, I will say.
It is because of the relationship.
Yeah.
And you've had an opportunity to give her that freedom
mm-hmm.
and to learn that, you know, y'all can work together as a team.
Yeah.
Makes a huge difference. And yeah, I'm glad to be raising her like this. And yes, I still teach her things. I still, you know, direct her when needed, but I basically allow her to make choices. And if she makes the wrong choice, I am there to help redirect her. But I always want to make sure she has choices if it's a safe environment to do so. Obviously, guys, we have to use common sense. Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But yeah, I wish you would come back more often. Y'all write in. Tell us how much you want her to be on here. Of course, she has to stay in town more often to do that.
So she doesn't have to look at Prince and Billy Strings
posters.
Yeah, I'm
just looking at Prince. I got Belinda.
Her name's not Belinda.
Nope, I got Brandy Carlisle. I got him that looks like Jensen Ackles, but it's Anderson East. Yeah.
Got some Billy Strings up here.
I need something else to look at over here. I don't know. Put me a picture of Cher over there. Well, I hope you guys have appreciated Britt taking the time to be here. And I am glad that you guys are listening. Listen, I need a big favor, though. If you can rate and review wherever you listen, it really helps us to find more listeners and helps listeners find us so that we can help people build the right relationships. Because we are all about building relationships, not dictatorships. That is not what we do. We want to be partners with our dogs. And it's pretty amazing when your dog looks at you with their eyes like they're asking like a child, hey, can you help me with this? And it's pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And I love my damn dog. I love her so freaking much.
She's so spoiled.
She is spoiled, but she's a good girl, is she not?
She is a good girl.
Yeah, see, she's a good girl. And she loves you and she woo-woos at you.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it's so cute. All right, anyway, sign up for the Q&A. If you have questions, it's very simple to do. Just go to our events page on dogspeak101.com and sign up. There is limited availability as far as asking the questions. But there is plenty of space for auditors. So even if you don't have a question, you can come and listen. And also, it will be recorded. So if you cannot make the live event, as long as you register prior, you will get the recording. And even if you're not making the live event, you can still ask a question and get your recording and get your question answered. So there you go. I appreciate you guys, and I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the week. Brett, thank you for being here, as always.
Thanks
for
having me.
You know how much I love it. And as always, guys, love your neighbor.